So we've been teaching Growing in Grace, and the messages have been really to characterize levels of growth as a Christian that we can perceive from the Word of God. They're in there, Paul talks about them, God talks about them, Jesus talks about them, how we can, well, newborn babes and then become children, a child of God, and from the child of God to a young man or a young adult Christian to a mature Christian, a full adult Christian, and those characteristics that are associated with each one of those stages in our life. And you say, why does he want us to know that? I think he wants us to know so we can begin to identify where we are. You know, he don't want you to stay as newborn babes. He don't want you to just wallow in your flesh all the time and be whining and crying, give me milk, feed me, you know, all the time. And that's where some people are. They get saved and they stay there. And you can hear them whining. You can hear them in the church. You know, some of them get so profoundly whiny that it brings shame to the church. We wonder, well, why are they disputing? Why are the church suing each other? Why are they doing all that? Because they're yet still babes, still yet carnal in their thinking, in their mind. And I don't believe that God wants us to stay there. I think he wants us to move on. Grow out of being a newborn babe. Grow into being a child of God. And I've talked about the wondrous things about children. There's more things in the Bible about children and their attitudes and behaviors than any other stage. Because being a child is where most people settle into. And now when you settle into being a child, you know, you can just think about it in our natural growth. Children are not where we should be. We should not always be children in the sense of behavior and attitude. And we'll always be a child to our parents, right? Well, no matter how old you get. Same with God. You'll always be a child to him. But he wants our attitude and our grace and our growth to move out of that position, out of that behavior of a child, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, you know, clamoring and rebellious, and you know, always wanting to fight, you know, for the wrong things. Move out of being a child. We talked about the positive things. One of the things I think I brought out was that the children know the kingdom of God. Our environment, the environment that we live in, the environment that we exist in, the environment where God wants us to live and move and have our being, is in his kingdom. You know, he preached the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. We're the proponents of that kingdom. Everywhere we go, we take the kingdom of God with us. And we are delivering unto others the resources, the results, the familiarity, the everything about the kingdom. We're bringing it to those people around us. So we move from that was the first kind of introduction to being a child, to the next big thing about children. Is that's where we are now, and I've been teaching on that for the last few times, so walking in the Spirit and being a part of how you walk in the Spirit and what it means to walk in the Spirit. Last time we spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. The time before that we talked about the carnal nature, because we need to know what's carnal, because we don't want to be carnal. We don't want to be walking in our flesh. We want to be able to recognize those and do as Paul tells us, to mortify the deeds of our flesh, kill those attitudes. Kill those fleshly things and build the fruit of the Spirit in us. Allow God's Spirit, which is in us, no work really on our part except to accept what he's saying to us. You have to accept the love of God in order to do the love of God. You have to say, okay, I'm not going to take that comment that you made to me as an offense. I'm going to forgive, as the Bible speaks and tells me to, and I'm going to behave like a Christ-like one with all the love that God has given me. He gives us the power to do that. That's part of his grace. So when you get to that frustrating point, or you get to that point where you think that you're about to spill over, just remember, no, wait a minute, I have the capacity to love. I have it in me. It's in me. God, call on it. Call on the Spirit of God. Give me what to say. I've been in situations where I've been accused of very bad things. I mean, at work, they come up to my desk and says, Curtis, you been blowing this guy. He was railing. And, you know, you don't like people yelling at you. especially when you're at work, right? He's yelling at me, and I began to, I could feel it coming. I could feel it whirling up. And the Spirit of God said, hold on. I was standing up. He was standing on the other side of my desk. And the Spirit of God said, sit down. So I sat down. When I sat down, he sat down. And I was like, oh. And he said, speak softly to him. And when I began to say something to him, speaking softly, his voice level came down. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Look how this works. And by the time we ended our conversation, we were back on good terms. And there was a misunderstanding, and he was able to gather what was going on, and I was as well. We worked it out. But it was interesting that the power to overcome what was about to overwhelm me was right there, right in my face. Whereas the most contentious part, and this is probably bad, but where's the most contentious place that we ever have to catch a hold of our tongue and be quiet sometimes? Where is the most contentious place? At home with our partners, in the face with our wives and our husbands, our spouses, our relatives, our sisters and brothers. because they're quick with stuff, right? And it's just to get you off of your Christ likeness. You have to purposefully believe. They're doing it. They're making me mad. They're making you mad, right? Why? To cause you to get into the same boat they're in. Let's all get into the same nasty boat and go shipwrecking down the way. Somebody, as we are Christ-like, we're supposed to be shouting, oh, this is my opportunity. I can feel the pain. Let me just go cry later and let me do my due diligence and be a child of God right now. My wife, my husband needs me to love them right now. What's the words can I say? Sometimes there's no words. Just be quiet. Sometimes there's nothing to say. Sometimes there's just walk away. What do you mean? What you have this power. It is what God gives us freely. All I'm asking, and I believe the Spirit of God is asking us, is just use that power. Use that power to cause your lives to be more in abundance. Abundance of love, abundance of whatever the grace that you need to be available to you. And let him begin to do that. Anyway, we talked about love, the fruit of the Spirit. And when you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit. So we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to be Christ-like, we have to walk in the Spirit. That is the goal of our Christian life. Is to say to ourselves, I need to walk in the Spirit today. And when you wake up in the morning, I need to walk according to the dictates and the promises of the Word of God today. In every situation, circumstance, because he is as close to you as your breath that you breathe. Jesus is. So he's always right there. So he's always ready. It just takes us to be ready too. Now I know the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And all that, and he gives us great lenience. And he gives us even provision for when we make mistakes, for when we sin. You know, we go to him and repent. We're right back in right standing with him. You know, sometimes we have to ask forgiveness of the other person if we've done something to offend them or if we've done something wrong to them. And that definitely is worth walking in as well. But we're growing in grace. Our base scriptures are Ephesians and 1 Peter. Ephesians, let me get over here. I want to just read those two before I start on the next part. 2 Peter 3:17-18. That is 2 Peter, right? Did I get that right, Pastor? Therefore, let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men. And believe it or not, when our spouses behave in unprincipled ways, that's what they're doing. You're supposed to be on your guard, right? Who distort the doctrine and fall from your own steadfastness. Because as Christians, that's what we're yearning to be like Christ. We want to be like Jesus. That's on our mind. I need to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. You know, what would Jesus do in this situation? Steadfastness of mind, knowledge, truth, and faith. Verse 18, but grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And we're not talking about growing to your desired efficiency or in your timing or in the way that you think that you should grow. We're talking about growing according to how God wants us to grow, according to how the Spirit of Truth is ministering to us and saying to us, why do we want to keep up with him? It's because he knows the future. He knows what's coming down the road. He knows and sees that spousal contestation that's coming. He knows what's coming at the job that you're going to have to deal with. He knows what some guy that's going to speed in front of you and stop and try to make you wreck your car. He knows all those things. So he wants to grow you to the point so when that thing happens, you have the grace prepared and ready to take over it so that you don't fall into that temptation to do wrong. Holy Spirit, so you're growing at his pace, the pace that he is giving you. So you got to pay attention to the Spirit of God, to the word that he has directed you to, because we know that the word of God is used to help us to grow, help us to mature, help us to move forward. And we know we are not always successful, you know, but more and more, as days go by, we become more and more successful. Just think about that. I'm not as bad as I was last year. I may not be perfect today, but I'm not as bad as I was last year because I've gone through some things in my life and I've taken over some responsibilities that I dealt with and was able to move through those situations with the Spirit of God. So the next time it comes, I've got a weapon. I've got power. I've got grace that I know about, which gives me more fortitude to do the right thing. Let me finish up verse 18. But grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Pastor's been teaching us in the Gospel of John, talking about Jesus and the things that he was doing and the things that we are to mimic that he was said we should do and to grow how he grew in that same respect. So the knowledge of our Savior is very important. Knowledge of how Jesus did things. The knowledge of how he moved, how he was submissive to the Spirit of God, how he was obedient to God is important for us to know as well so that we can train ourselves, train our life to be after him. Now, something came up while I was, you know, preparing and studying this. Sometimes we think that we are, so the thing that I'm growing myself, I'm growing my personality, my natural self. I'm growing that person who I am, my ego, myself. That's the person I'm growing into what God wants to be. And I want you to know that that is not what we're doing. The Spirit of God is already in you. The Spirit of God, the thing that you need is to rely on the Spirit. So what you're training your natural self to do is rely on the Spirit in you. The flesh profits nothing. You can say, well, I need to be better, and you think that your flesh needs to be better. It can profit nothing. All it should do is yield. That's right. Yield to the Spirit of truth. You say, well, I got a brain. I'm intelligent. Hey, but the Bible tells you that's nothing to God. Your wisdom means nothing. Think about that, your wisdom compared to the wisdom of God. What in the world am I doing? if I'm relying on my intelligence, my education that I have in order to do the things that God wants me to do. And now I'm not saying that education and intelligence is a bad thing. Y'all be going, well, what's going on? I'm just saying that you're not to rely on those things when your life is supposed to be directed by the Spirit of truth. Just make sure He is turning the wheels and not your education or your intelligence. When you're at work and you're doing your work that God has wanted you to do, of course, you have to use your mind and your brain and all that to do those things. And, you know, God will help you in some of those things, too. You know, he knows you get to a problem you need to resolve. And I've done this many times. I was a programmer at work. I wrote programs for library services. So I had to understand computer languages and had to be drawn into algorithms and all kinds of diagrams where processes had to be, you know, fettered out. And God helped me with those. He helped me to figure out what I needed to do and what I needed to write, because I was in communication with Him. Now, some of it came because I was familiar with the education that I was taught about how to program. But He was the one that helped me solve the problem, helped me get the right code in the right place to produce the right result. God was the one. Just remember that. Your life, you know, we're making, I grew a tree. I didn't grow a tree. God grew a tree. I planted a tree, and God grew it up. It was a plum tree a couple years ago. I was telling this on Thursday. And all of a sudden, there are plums on the tree. I never heard about plums growing in Virginia, but I guess they do grow, because I had a tree full of them. I didn't know what to do. What am I to do with these plums? And so there was a period of just you know, not knowing, uneasy, asking God, what can I do? How do I keep them? How do I do blah 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 blah? You know, how do I do all these things? And you know, he was helping me. He was saying, well, do this and do this. And now, of course, I left a lot of them for the birds and the squirrels and the the deer that come through the yard to feast on our plants and gardens. But he was the one that was saying, hey, why don't you do this? And I ended up, from a suggestion from a pastor, making some plum sorbet. I'll bring some Wednesday so you can have a taste. And I was like, that thought had never occurred to me, because I'm thinking, I've never had a plum salad, I never had a plum smoothie, I never had plum ice cream, I never had a plum anything. Plum pie, plum tart, plum jelly, plum jam, plum plum sauce, nothing plum. And I'll tell you, I learned a whole lot of things you can make with plums. if you like that plum. Well, I fumbled through it, so I hadn't had enough yet. A lot of them, you know, rotted and wasted away. But anyway, God, He helped me with that. I wasn't trying to figure it out on my own. I was asking Him. And He led me to some resources and things that were online and talked to some people that knew how to grow some things. No, but He was doing that. I was following His direction. So we need to do that in order for us to mature. The second verse that our foundational scripture is in Ephesians 4:11 through 16. Let me go ahead and read those. And His gifts to the church were varied, and He Himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists, who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. I want you to, in that one scripture, the only thing I really want you to understand is that those five ministries are appointed by God. Somebody comes up here and calls himself an apostle, and they can't say, well, God called me. They can't say that, or if they allude to it and don't know what it was that called them, then they're not called. Because it says here that they're appointed by God Himself. God is the Spirit. We have Him on the inside of us. He talks to us. He calls us. All right? And He did this. To fully, He did this, the fivefold ministry, or the five ministries, gifts, to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people. And you think, I can't be perfect. The Bible says that you and I can be perfect. We just need to understand what that perfection is. God's people for works of service. He perfects us, his people for the works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church. You and I are being perfected for the works of service, to build up the body. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. No matter how we look today, he says we can attain oneness. Growing spiritually to become a mature believer. Reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, so if those words are not in your Bible, that's why. Amplified amplifies. So that we are no longer children. We're no longer children. And he means no longer children in attitude and behavior, but spiritually mature. I mean, no longer children, immature spiritually, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. That's what children do. They go after these things and waver back and forth. But speaking, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth. Let us grow up in all things. How many things? All things. Into him. Following his example. Whose example? His example. The neighbor's example. He didn't even say follow the pastor's example. He didn't say follow, you know, big name evangelist example. He didn't say follow the guy, the devotionals example. He said following whose example? God's. Those people are following God, then yes, you can follow them. Who is the head? Christ. Verse 16. From him the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. Your part and my part is to grow up spiritually so that we can do what this word has to say. That's what we're doing. We're helping the body to be built up. Not everybody is at the same level, and the things on the inside of you, he has made for the purpose, not only for you, but for others that are in the body. That's why we come and we share together and fellowship together. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together so that we can build one another up so we can grow. You've got things that are churning on the inside of you that even when you just begin to talk in a natural sense, thinking that you're not doing anything, you're ministering. And you're ministering to the people that are hearing you. You may not be saying, thus saith the Lord, or to quoting a scripture, but your fellowship and your speech, the way it comes out. And that's why we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, because love is a huge fruit of the Spirit. Huge. You know, God is love. And we talked about this last time, that love is one of the strongest fruit there is. And I believe it was maybe mentioned at the Wednesday service after we ministered, love encompasses all the other fruit. If you love, then you're able to do all the other fruit of the Spirit, or they are available to you to walk in the Spirit. And so I was contemplating that. So in my writing, I do a discourse talking about, or just a little summary about each fruit of the Spirit. So we started with love, and it took the whole service. So hopefully the next ones won't take the whole service. You say, well, what's the next one? Well, let's go read the Galatians where he gives us the list. In Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. God's fruit is in contestation. It contests against the flesh. And if we walk in His Spirit, then we are true to Him and we'll be like Christ. It's really simple, right? He says these things are given to us so that we can fight against the affections, emotions, the mind, the will, emotions of our flesh. The thing that our mind needs to catch, or our heart needs to catch, remember we're guarding our heart, is when those things are coming out. So we can stop them and turn over here and say, okay, oh, what fruit am I supposed to be doing here? You know, when people are attacking you, we'll get to this later, but when people are attacking you, you're frustrated, and you're getting annoyed, what fruit am I supposed to come? What fruit helps me with this? Well, there's a couple that I can think of readily. One is long-suffering. You know, that's one of God's names. It's long-suffering. It's also in love, right? Because it helps us to endure when things are being offensive or things are being thrown at us. When things are being, when are shaking us off our base and we're wanting to strike out. It would do us well, all of us, when things like that happen, that we calm down. Wait. Wait till I can hear what the Spirit of God wants me to say or do before blurting something out or before doing something that you eventually you regret. I've done it. I know you've done it. We all have done it. But the power of God is so available to us so that we not do it. I can remember when I first got married, there was, man, we had some work to do. And we had some work to do. It was too easy to do exactly what I just told you. But as time goes on, you learn how to what? Control. Self-control is I believe, one of the fruit of the Spirit. You learn how to control your speech, how to slow down, how to begin to allow the Spirit of God to just calm yourself. Be gentle in your, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. All right, so we got about 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to dive into some of the fruit. Hopefully we'll get to two or three of these, right? We already talked about love. What's the next one is? Joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with the circumstance that you're a part of. It has nothing to do with the argument that you just came out of. Nothing to do with whoever just made you mad or the car that just cut you off, you know, on the highway. It has nothing to do with your child throwing a temper tantrum on the floor. Joy that you and I have, Jesus said, I'm going to give you this joy, and the world cannot take it away. So it is there. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to just, you know, I when learning some of these things, Sherry would say something, and she's not here to defend herself. So Sherry would say something, and it would be pointed right at me, and I know it, I can feel, you can feel the cut, right, cut across there, and I would just go, oh, don't do that. But it would just come out, right? And I asked him, I said, God, what is going on? Why did I do it? Because she thinks I'm laughing at her when she's coming up, when she's doing something really serious. She said something to me, of course. And I just, he said, that's just the joy of the Lord. It just pops up, right? Instead of what wanted to come out was, you know, let me just find a stick and just hit you in the head. No. You know how you feel? I'm just saying it out loud. You know you thought it. But it would just come out. It's there. We just have to let it do its work. You know, let it calm us and move us to the situation that we need help. The joy of the Lord is our. It's something that all Christians know about. So if I have the joy, I've got strength. I've got strength for what? Strength to enter into these other fruits that I need. That's what the joy comes from. It may be light. It may loosen the tension on the inside of you. It may cause your mind or your mental capacity to relax a little bit. Okay, they're upset. They're physically upset. Let me hold on. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Be calm. Because, you know, you never know what the situation has where it's coming from. Sometimes it was just something at work. Sometimes it was something you did or said or you didn't mean to say, or you said it wrong, or you did it wrong. It's amazing if you just sat back and just hold on. Okay, they're upset. What should I do now? Because I want to be a peacemaker. Wonderful fruit of the Spirit. It's what God called me to do. I want to be a peacemaker in the home, in the situation with my brothers and sisters, in the church, wherever. I want to bring peace to the situation. I want to bring calm and peace because that's where Jesus is going to reside. Amen? I got to hold on to that flesh that wants to come out and attack and scream and yell and beat and, you know, just be all out of control. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it no more. I already done that. I already know what that does. I already know how that's going to affect the situation. I already know. You get what I'm saying? We already know. If I do that, where are things going to go? They're not going to go up. They're going to go down. Because I've already lived through it. I've already responded that way. I got to respond different now. I can't do that. You say, well, what, if you don't say anything, will they get mad? I don't know if they would get mad at that particular moment, but when I first started doing that, they didn't get mad. She started thinking. She started calming down because I wasn't responding back to her in the same kind that she was giving back to me, and vice versa. I don't want to put everything on her. You know, I could get mad too and say something wrong, and, you know, she would have to deal with that, you know. But isn't that wonderful, though, how God can give us that strength through the joy of the Lord? And I got some scripture here I'm going to read for you. The definition of joy is an emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying, keen pleasure. It's an elation. What has happened to us that would give us this definition? Jesus has saved us. What kind of joy? What? That's joy right there, bro. He's forgiven me of my sins. My old nasty self, he said, Kurt, come on over here. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to make you whole. You ain't going to have to worry about all that stuff again. Come on. That's why our joy remains. That's why it stays whole, because salvation doesn't ever go away for us who are believers in Christ, right? It's always there. Always. So that's where our joy comes from. However, God's joy that arises from the Spirit life is a joy that is centered around what God has done for each believer. This joy depends not on circumstances, situations, people, places, things, but on His truth. The Word of God is forever established by God and will never change. That joy. Just think I can have it. You know, you can say, that thing pisses me off. They did blah, 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 and you can have it going through your mind. But you can also have going through your mind, you know, but I can have joy. They may have made me mad, but I'm not going to let that evil anger kind of churn on the inside of me until my gut tries to, you know, my stomach starts feeling bad. It's all tight and, you know, and I can't eat nothing. And, you know, I'm not gonna let that anger do that. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to help me to have, so get a release, even though I may be mad. I may have gotten mad because somebody said something, or somebody did something, or, you know, I heard something on the news, whatever it may be. It doesn't, my joy, the joy of God doesn't do that. Let me read these scriptures for you. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I want to be there because being in God's joy eventually will bring me God's peace and love that I want to be restored to. Psalms 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. This is joy God is talking about. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We've heard this scripture. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into thou the joy of the Lord. It's available to us, saints. And we just need to know that it is there. It comes not from us, not from our flesh. It comes out of your spirit, something that you've been given. It's a gift to you and I. Already there, already available. You just have to let it out. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God that we talked about, that the children know about, is not in the meat and drink. It's not in the fleshly things. It's in righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Somebody that's already here with us, the comforter, the counselor, the standby, the helper. He's already here with us. That's where our joy comes from. Last scripture, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If he, Jesus, and you remember Pastor's sermon from last week when he read of Jesus' crucifixion. If he can endure the cross using his joy. Now, he wasn't up there laughing, but he says here, but for the joy, he endured that. And we surely can endure somebody cursing at us, and somebody offending us, or somebody, you know, kicking us in the shin, or whatever they've done to us. Some words, evil email or whatever, I don't know. You know, whatever they think they've done. I ordered a shed. Sherry's been wanting a little shed to put her flower pots and stuff. She plants flowers in the yard every year, and she just loves to do it. She can be out there 4 hours. I mean, all day hours. And I'll be just plant. She from morning till time it gets dark. She's out there in the yard, in the dirt, digging, plant flowers, you know. And I'll help her, you know, to dig big holes and all that kind of stuff. But she's accumulated a mass of pots that she's kept or have gotten over the years or whatever, and stuff, wheelbarrows and carts and. and you know, mulch and topsoil, pot and soil, mixed stuff, and oh my God, it just fills up the garage. So I promised her I was gonna build her a shed. I tore up my deck. I have a 8x40 feet deck. So I took all the boards up, saved them. I said, I'm gonna use this wood. I'm gonna build her a shed. Well, the time has escaped me, and I haven't gotten to it yet, so I said, all right, I'm just going to buy a shed. So I bought a shed. It arrived on Wednesday, and it was a big box, right? It was sitting on the driveway, and I went out and looked at it, and it said, one of two boxes. Big, one of two boxes right on the side of it. I said, where is the box? Well, the box wasn't there. You know, I could feel my level coming up. Right, I said, man, I said, all right, that's all right. I'll just wait a day or so, maybe, you know, it'll come. Went online, didn't say anything about another box. Went back to the place where I ordered it, and it didn't say anything about another box. So I said, I'm just going to wait a day. I waited another day, nothing. I said, all right, I waited. There's no box. Let me go see if I can call the customer service and see what's up with a second box. I get on the phone first, and you know, they want you to go use the chat. So I said, okay, I get off the phone, I use the chat. I'm typing in stuff on the chat. And the person that comes on there, they're very, that's just, they're up, they upbeat, they have this nice, you know, kind of feel with what they're saying. And you know, so we started to converse, and I tell them what's happened, and then they go, let me check. You know, they do all that wonderful thing stuff when you first talk to them. And so she goes to check, and she comes back, and she says, sir, from our system, it only says that this thing has one box. I said, so you're trying to tell me that everything is in that box? And she says, yes. I said, but the box says one of two. And she says, it only says one box. And I said, well, I refrained from opening it, because I felt like if I did, I'd have a hard time wrapping it back up and sending it back in just in case it was only one box, right? So anyway, all right, she says, well, I suggest go and open that box. I said, oh. She said, I think it's all in there. I said, you do. So I went over there. I opened the box. The sheet of instructions, the first sheet on top says 1/2. Right, and I was like, and a list of parts. That's right. I'm looking at that. I said, I'm looking at it like, I don't see no roof on the parts. I don't see no door on the parts. Well, where are all the screws on the parts? There's no screws. Where's the frame? There's no frame. So I take a picture of all that. I go back on the chat. I upload the pictures. We begin to chat some more, and she goes, it doesn't look like it's all there. And then she goes, she says, so what do you want me to do for you? Oh my God. I think my level got about right here. Oh. And then I said, I just want you to give me an option for what I should do. What's the best option? Since you're saying it's only one box, I think there's two. What's the next big thing? She said, send it back. I said, all right, I'm going to return it. So I go through the process of returning this box. It's a big box, it's a shed, right? It's a metal shed. So I said, is somebody gonna come pick it up? Well, no, nobody's coming to pick it up. You have to take it and drop it off. It got right. I gotta take it. She said, you have to take it. I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to. She's not. All she's doing is her job. She's not the one that's made a mistake. The company has done something erroneously. At the same time, I was chatting with her. There was a message to the manufacturer that said, if any parts are missing, send us a note. So I had done that. They hadn't responded. They hadn't responded to anything, so I didn't know what they were doing. So anyway, turned the box, taped it back up. My little old self in this big old box. But anyway, the next day, I get an email from the manufacturer. They say, oh, we got the tracking number for the second box. I was like, I almost sent it back. I had put it in the truck and was going to FedEx, but I had read the email before that. So I said, what? So I was fiercely looking for this chat because I was going to go back to this customer service person because I had my review on it said, you guys, you need to know that if it's one box or two and you need to tell your customers that, you know, they're not coming the same day, you should have track. I said, what is up with that? You a big company, you make billions of dollars. What's up? What? Anyway, it was something that could have, what? Move me out of my joy. I mean, I was sure was excited. I was excited. We were all excited about the shit. I was going to, ooh, let's do it. Let's do it. And then my joy kind of always was going whoosh, whoosh. Kind of going, sinking down. Then I got that email and all of a sudden, woof, ha, ah, oh my God. Maybe I want to send it back. Because, you know, sending back stuff is just, it's just a hassle, you know? That's a big hassle, and they were really getting on my nerves. So I was saying all kinds of stuff in my head. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna write them the nastiest review I can find. I'm gonna tell them about themselves. It's gonna be loaded with all kinds of stuff in there, and I hope people read it and don't ruin the business with them. Yes, that was. So anyway, the next day, they said they're tracking. I said, oh my goodness. I did send a note to customer service telling them about the second box. I don't know what they did with that. But the second box came, opened up the second box, and there were all my pieces that I was missing. So we're back okay. But that was a potential situation, right? Where you get to lose your joy. Where you get to lose your, you know, and want to do something really bad. What can you do? Really? Well, I could have got off of my base, my Christ-likeness, right? I could have got off not behaving like Jesus would behave. And that would have only affected me. She wouldn't care. It would affect me and Mel and probably Sherry because I would have been mad and, you know, pouting because I lost, well, potentially could lose my money. Nothing, all it could do, that's all it really could do is move me. So why don't I have some smarts and keep myself calm so that Jesus can work on my behalf, right? And give me some things to say. And the review I wrote back was just an explanation of what happened. And it didn't have anything that, I said it didn't have anything to do with this customer service person. You know, it's just what happened. Straightforward and let people know that they need to watch out for maybe this would happen to them. And, you know, and normally I don't do, I mean, I do reviews, but normally I don't. This was a long, you know, because I wanted to describe what happened. This is what she took me through. I was on the phone with her over an hour, and she wanted me to be, don't hang up, go out there, open the box, and I'll be right here. And she was. She stayed on the line till I opened the box and took the pictures and did all that stuff. It was amazing for her, the representative, and for their company, how she handled that particular situation, because it could have been volatile. I read the reviews. I couldn't find the product on the site anymore, right? I was like, wait a minute, where? The product itself was there. The example, it was an 8x6 shed, was there, but over where you could, you know, pick it to buy it was gone. There were no more 8x6s. There were 6x4s and 10x8s, but no more. I said, what's up? So she did something, because it was not there. Because I was going to use that to say, hey, look, you're selling it. And you could have told people it would come in two boxes. So anyway. So the joy that I received, I didn't have at that situation at the time. I didn't allow that particular situation to steal it away from me. And we know we come up with all kinds of situations that do that. I'm going to read four more scriptures, and then I'll be done. So hold on. I know we're 5 minutes over. And Sherry would have been telling me, John 15:11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 16:24 says, Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. John 17:13, but now I am coming to you, and I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may experience my joy made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight. That's the Amplified version of that scripture. And of course, you know, we know about Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is our strength.